present Margate Murder Mystery by Peter Ray and Helen Bang. Episode 1.
Margate. Once a seaside paradise, then not so much. Now, once again, an up-and-coming seaside paradise. The fantastic neon-lit spectacle of the recently refurbished Dreamland illuminated the promenade of this increasingly fashionable town. This Victorian attraction, built upon an old salt marsh, opened as an amusement park in 1818. And save one awkward, if memorable, incident, when the local circus strongman murdered a prostitute on the site, had a long history of entertaining families. It also had a long history of closing down and being reopened. Currently, thanks to investment from certain local and overseas business folk, the neon lights of the chimney stack proudly illuminated the North Sea as it lightly battered the shoreline. Little fish and chip pun for you there. The seafront was in the traditional British, relatively tacky style, but thanks to an influx of independent bespoke coffee shops, it was well-appointed and trendy in a vegan pizza sort of way. The faded glory of Sunjammers, the town's only gay bar, twinkled on a little hill to the west of Dreamland, and slightly further along the coast shone the modern majesty of the Turner Contemporary Art Gallery. Slightly further inland, in a slightly less salubrious part of town, a pair of legs was making its way rapidly away from two more pairs of legs. The first pair of pursuing legs was clad in blue jeans, and the second in a short denim skirt over expensive tights. These belonged to Detective Inspector Paul Filter and Sergeant Chaplain Moreno, respectively. The chase through the dark evening was furious, and the police officers had their long sought-after prey in their sights.
Come on, Moreno. We can't let him get away again.
I know. It would be really, really, really annoying.
Oh, I hate running.
I know, sir. I'm really surprised you didn't send someone younger and fitter to help me catch him.
Yes, all right.
I think I'd stand a better chance of catching him if I were with someone younger and fitter.
Anyone in mind, Moreno?
Oh, I don't really mind, Governor. Most people in the station can run faster than you. In fact, I think everyone can run faster than you.
Yes, all right, Moreno. He's turned. Down that way.
See? But you have good eyesight at night. For a man in his late 40s.
I'm 40! Oh, forget it. Come on!
Mark and Sheila Phelps were not really enjoying their evening walk to the beach. Mark had committed that most heinous of holiday crimes, that of not researching their accommodation properly. Therefore, instead of choosing one of the lovely available seafront B&Bs, hotels, or beachside shacks, Mark had checked them into the Seaview Paradise Hotel. The Seaview Paradise Hotel was only 33% accurate in its description, in that it was a hotel, but possessed no view of the sea, nor could it in any way be described as anything resembling paradise. Sheila had only been talked down from driving straight back to Bradford and spending the weekend drinking wine from a tap in the local Wetherspoons by Mark's promise that he would treat her to a slap-up meal at one of the seafront gluten-free vegan pizza joints, which his friend Kevin had assured him was very good. This had seemed like an acceptable idea to Sheila, and all was proceeding quite well until it started raining, at which point she had become what Mark would term a bit mardy. Rounding a corner, Mark was deeply entrenched in reminding his wife that he didn't have active control over the weather itself when Sheila suddenly disappeared from sight. Having been barreled into by a figure appearing to be fleeing from something, she had hit the floor like an elephant falling out of a helicopter and was making a similar noise. The conversation in the moments preceding the collision went something like this.
I didn't, love. I didn't, though. I didn't do it on purpose.
You fucking did. You fucking did do it on purpose.
Why would I have done that, Princess?
It's bloody typical of you, this. Bringing me on holiday to this shithole. It's Tenerife all over again.
What were wrong with Tenerife, love?
Too Spanish. And I didn't like the food. And... And then he books a B&B, not a hotel, a B and bloody B. And not a normal fucking B&B, no. Oh, no, too good for the likes of us. Oh, yes. No, no, he books an Airbnb. And do you know why it's called an Airbnb? Because it's so far from the fucking beach you have to fucking...
Sheila, love, are you all right?
Did you see him?
Eh?
Did you see him?
Oh, what the fuck,
the criminal.
Criminal?
Did you see anyone running? Well, not running like they were going out for a run. Not that kind of running. The kind of running that someone might be doing if they were running away from the police? Oh, we're the police, by the way. Sorry, probably should have started with that.
Moreno, focus.
Oh, are you okay down there? Do you need some help.
Oh, she'll be right. Someone just knocked her off her. He were running, mind. He or she. I couldn't tell. Well, you can't these days, can you?
Which way did he go?
He or she went that way.
Thanks.
You sure you're okay?
Oh, aye. You get on.
It's just fucking typical of you, this.
As the two police officers set off into the night, knackered, and in totally the wrong direction, a pair of eyes stared at them from his hiding place.
Dix.
I think he got away.
Back to the... Oh, Jesus. Back to the crime scene. This has got to stop.
It's like a scourge on this town.
Well... It's annoying.
I know it's him.
It has to be. It's his M.O. Damn! I thought we'd seen the last of him.
Only one thing for it.
I know. Sometimes I really hate this job.
You want me to do it?
No. No. Something like this should come from me. Hi. Yeah. Hi, Sharon. Yeah. It's Paul. Yes, it's Billy. I'm afraid it's happened again. You'll have to come in tomorrow. Yes, a cock. Yes, and some balls. An ice cream van this time. Yep, that is indeed a step too far. Okay, bye now. Let's go and get a drink.
Sure. What are you going to have?
I don't know yet.
I'm going to have a cocktail. Oh my God, yes, I'm going to have a cocktail. Do you want a cocktail?
No.
Oh, I don't know. Right, I was just asking. Jeez. So what are you going to have?
Gary Evans was in Margate with one purpose, and one purpose alone. To get some, what he called, seaside snatch. He called it this because he was a moron. His job as sales assistant in one of London's few remaining phone stores provided him a modicum of job satisfaction, allowing him to extol the benefits of the latest iPhone to wary customers whilst assuring them that they couldn't possibly find a better contract deal online. They definitely could. His nights out, however, were less than satisfactory. Despite his ponytail and pink German street shirts, the kind that were perennially on special offer, his beard, not too Shoreditch and yet not too student, CK1 aftershave, and his broad knowledge of the specifications of literally all the latest smartphones, Gary Evans still found it difficult to get a date. "Fuck it, mate," he told his friend Graham, a carpenter who owned most of his own tools. "Margate, that's where it's at," he declared. Prepared for the quizzical look that Graham shot him over his ample belly and chin beard, Gary made his case that Margate was the new Shoreditch and was indeed Punani central for the sophisticated city girl with disposable income, and that it was indeed full of them. Graham was about to point out that the place to find a sophisticated city girl was probably right here in the city, but since he had recently had his annual blowjob, or blowy, he was feeling rather happy with life, and saw no reason to burst anyone else's bubble. Thus, Graham just smiled, and took another sip of his blue WKD, and wished his best friend luck. Wearing a pink and white German street shirt, Gary Evans sat at the bar in the Hobgoblin, knowing that tonight was the night. He had had a similar thought the previous night, and the one before that, though sadly he had struck out repeatedly and miserably, even with the MILFs, which surprised him. And he was now talking to a friendly young female bartender.
I don't know what her problem was. I just told her she was fit for an old bird.
Wow, that would have worked on me, if I was an old bird.
Ah, you see? I'll have another one of them ciders, please, love.
Which one?
The posh ones in bottles. Whichever's sweetest. I like my booze sweet. Like my birds. Like you. Have one for yourself, love.
Really?
Yeah. It's cheaper than London prices, so I can afford it, like. And I'm doing all right in my line of work. I'm like third top salesman in phones on us.
Wow, big shot.
Yeah. You see this shirt? Non-iron. And the funny thing is, I'm better at shifting iPhones, and I'm actually more of an Android guy.
Well, funny. Oh, I'd love to live in London. I'm so bored of Margate.
I could whisk you away if you like.
Keep buying me drinks and we'll see. So, have you got a nice flat then?
Sort of. I've got my eye on one. I'm at home at the moment.
What, like with your mum?
Yeah, but I'm saving, like, for a flat. Me and my mate Graham, he's a chippy, that means carpenter, you know. Oh, wow, is that Jägermeister?
Yeah.
Wow, it's well posh, this place, isn't it? You want one?
Yeah, go on then. You're quite cute. in an only wears Essex kind of way.
Oh, I could have been on that, you know? It's not fair. It's all who you know, like...
I heard that. Join me for a fag out back?
Yeah.
Tilly and Tabitha were not mother and daughter, sisters, nor lesbians, though one could be mistaken for presuming any of the above. What they were was recent arrivals from Shoreditch, were a joint venture of a pets-only coffee shop at and far better than expected, which, in addition to a moderate but welcome inheritance for Tabitha from an aunt of previously unknown existence, meant that they were able to purchase a delightful little B&B not far from the seafront. Right now, they were sitting in Sunjammers, Margate's premier and only gay bar. They liked Sunjammers because of the bright colours inside, and since Tabitha had forbidden Tilly from ever stepping foot inside a Wetherspoons, having once had a devastating experience where she'd actually gone inside one, it was also the nearest bar to their newly acquired B&B. The B&B was not a traditional B&B in the sense of a boarding house providing the weary traveller or budget tourist with a bed and some breakfast, or rather, in fact, it was. It was, however, named the Schwerbenbe. Tabitha and Tilly had thought they had devised a new type of B&B, although they had quickly realised that what they were offering was in fact exactly what Airbnb actually was, and so they redubbed it their boutique Airbnb. Not being satisfied with the generic nature of the term boutique Airbnb, they added the prefix Shore as a nod to their beloved Shoreditch. And thus was born the virtually unpronounceable Schwerbenbe. Not only was it virtually unpronounceable, but it was also unspellable to most people. The two noble exceptions being Tabitha, who had conceived it, and Tilly, who had written it out several thousand times in some notebooks.
So how do you say it again? Show Bob?
Schwerbenbe.
Shiloli bum?
No, silly. It's Schwerbenbe. It flows.
Schwerbenbe.
No, Lola dear. It's Schwerbenbe.
Yes, you see? Schwerbenbe. It flows. It's like a liquid water. Schwerbenbe. Schwerbenbe.
Schwerbenbe. It's really quite simple. Initially, I wasn't too sure about the name either, as I felt it sounded a little too Arabic, and I didn't want anyone to think we were appropriating their culture, but then I grew to love it.
Well, what's it mean then, darling?
This is very clever. Just wait and see.
Well, you see, we sort of made it up.
From what? Fucking leftovers?
No, from actual words.
Oh, God, and I'll make me so laugh.
It stands for Shoreditch Boutique Airbnb.
So what's one of them?
Tabitha.
Yes, dear?
Why is she saying that?
Saying what?
Why is she saying that question?
I don't know, dear.
Well, look, it's a bleeding simple question, darling. What's a Shoreditch Blumenberg? What's it when it's at home?
Tabitha, take her through it.
I know. One step at a time, Lola.
Yes?
Follow closely. Do you know what Shoreditch is?
Of course I do. It's that bit of London where all them chai latte sipping hipsters live, isn't it? Bunch of wankers.
Right. Well, we shall come back to that last part. But yes, it's a place in London. Now, do you know what boutique means?
Well, yeah. It's a sort of a posh shop for twats, isn't it?
Again, there are some technicalities we can cover later, but it sort of means exclusive.
Right.
Now, do you know what an Airbnb is?
Well, of course I do, darling. It's like a residence, isn't it, where they, like, rent out beds with African violet nylon sheets reeking with the stench of stale bacon.
No, it's...
another... unpleasant substances.
No, an Airbnb is like a regular B&B, except it comes with an app.
What's a fuck's an app?
It stands for application.
Well, what does it do?
People use it to book rooms.
So it's like a phone then?
Yes, except it's on a computer.
Yeah, but what's wrong with a phone?
It's quicker on an app.
Quicker than, like, picking up the phone and saying, hello, darling, have you got a room?
Well, no.
That was fast.
But what if we're not in?
Ain't you heard of a mobile?
We like the app.
She likes the app. She's German.
Oh. That's what it is it? Well, have you got any guests from this here app yet?
We do a premiere guest.
Their premier, in this instance meaning literally first guest, was currently thinking he was something special, since he was seemingly winning over the attractive young barmaid. Unbeknownst to him, this was largely in part due to the fact that she'd been charging him for her own drinks for most of the evening. Like any true knob, he was attempting to impress her with his choice of cigarettes.
Dunhill. Fancy.
Yeah, I travel quite a bit. Like, now. Whenever I like, really. Went on a stag do to Prague last year. It's no Tenerife.
I wish I could travel. stuck in this shithole.
Margate's all right. It's pretty. And so are you.
Inexplicably, this worked.
So, Mum's place or yours?
Meanwhile, back at Sunjammers.
So, have you met this lot then? This is Rosalinda, the local white witch. Oh, and these are the lesbians who bought the old Red Lion guest house.
Oh, we're not lesbians.
Oh, sorry, Mother and...
No, I'm Tilly. And this is Tabitha.
Darlings. Darlings. Margate has big plans for you. Big plans. I can feel it.
Right, how lovely.
Yeah, that would be nice.
And this is Cheska. She's a very important local lawyer. Or so she thinks. Oh, and she looks after this big shot American businessman who's doing all sorts of development things in the town right now.
Oh, so you've bought the old Red Lion.
Yes, but we have renamed it.
To what?
Shubbalubbalong.
Shuerbenba.
You know, I've sort of heard on the old grapevine that the local S&M club are on the hunt for alternative locations for its little parties. It's all very discreet. Perhaps you could get in touch and offer some of your vacant rooms from time to time.
Oh yeah, we could do that.
We could certainly discuss it.
Of course, I don't know how you'd get in touch with them. It's just a suggestion.
Oh, just a suggestion, she says. We know what sort of suggestion the lady protesteth about. Don't we, m'lady?
For sure indeed, me good man. my nomenclature finds me as Annabelia.
And I'm Toby. T-H-O-B-E-S.
Thobes.
It's pronounced Toby.
No, it isn't.
Are you having an evening of the finest splenitude?
Is this a play?
Afraid not, darling. You can walk out of a play. They run the local calf.
It is far more than a simple calf. Indeed, it insists on itself as an upgrade from even such a simple cafe. Though 'tis humble, 'tis a golden refuge.
A place where food meets peace and creates a place of wonders, of those the kind that may never cease.
Fucking hell.
They do a lovely bacon bap.
We do.
Well, lovely to meet you. We'll be sure to pop in, as they say.
They do say. Indeed, they do say.
It might not be soon.
Having made their way via the seafront, Gary and Layla had arrived back at the oddly named Shuerbenba. It's pronounced Sure Babe, Gary had suggested, because he was an idiot. Since the night air, time, and the metabolizing of the previously imbibed alcohol had made the whole endeavor less appealing by the second, Layla had found herself in Gary's hotel in a rather regretful state. What's more, he was showing her round the Airbnb proudly. Tabitha and Tilly were obsessed with animals, and had once spent 3 whole weeks working in animal conservation in either Zambia or Zimbabwe, neither could remember which. They attempted as far as possible to make every venture they embarked upon animal-related. Therefore, the Shuerbenba was heavily animal-related. Each room was named after an animal, with a fairly decent painted representation of said animal upon the door. Gary was pointing at various doors with his arm gripped firmly around Layla's shoulders, unable to sense the rising repulsion growing within her. He nodded at one particular door.
That's a leopard.
It was a cheetah.
I know loads about animals. My uncle went on safari when I was a kid. Showed us loads of slides.
Cool. Have you got anything to drink?
Yeah, there's a little bar down here somewhere. Here we are. Hello, mate.
Hello. Can I help you?
Could we get a couple of pints?
I'm afraid the bar is closed.
Come on. Just a sneaky couple of halves.
I'm fairly certain that it cannot have escaped your attention that at this precise moment I am currently ensconced in cleaning the beer lines, sir.
Yeah, he is. It's all right.
All right then, mate. Thanks a lot. Love the waistcoat, by the way. I don't see them much anymore.
Yes, sir. That's the idea.
All right then, sweet cheeks. Oh, wait, fuck me. Oh, you know what I've got upstairs?
What?
Only like half a bottle of Southern Comfort. If we nick a couple of these cans of 7-Up, we can mix them. Have you ever had that? Southern Comfort and lemonade. Oh, it's well nice. Tastes like refreshers.
But are you sure that avocado cocktails are appropriate? You don't think that people here might consider them pretentious?
Darling! We don't have a pretentious bone in our bodies. We are exactly what we say we are, and what we are is two ladies who, when they plan a party, literally make people's dreams come true.
What a bleat, Nelly, you on about?
We are having a little launch party for the B&B.
Air B&B, dear.
For the Air B&B. And Tabitha thinks we should make avocado cocktails.
Just imagine it.
Oh, I am. Sounds like crap to me.
And isn't avocado...
Isn't it what, dear?
More of a food.
But that's what makes it so dreamlike. We're playing with expectations and turning them inside out.
Forgive us for overhearing.
Yes, forgive us most forthrightly. But we couldn't help basking in the humble magnificence of the sound waves emitting from your sweet selves. And we agree fully and completely that the humble avocado cocktail sounds like the most humble and delicious investigation of beverage tastes imaginable.
Yes, and on such an occasion of perfectly anticipated splenitude, we should be delighted to be your humble guests.
In short, you can rely on us most humbly and most wholly to not only attend your little soiree, but make it!
So you want to come to our party?
If it causes no offence, of the type Keats would never fail to serve.
I suppose. Anyway, Tilly, can't you see it? Serving little avocado cocktails with little wooden sporks. So much fun! You did pick up the little wooden sporks, didn't you, dear? I didn't see any when we were unpacking.
I thought you were going to pick up the little wooden sporks, and I was to make the final decision about which brand of cheese and onion kettle chips would most distinctly evoke a sense of Africa.
No, dear. We had come to a distinct conclusion on that one. The Sainsbury's Taste the Difference range clearly evokes a sense of Africa most potently. Then I said, off you go to find some little wooden sporks, dear, and make sure they're wooden, because they wouldn't be very African if they're plastic. And you said, okay, in a very upbeat manner. And off you went.
I did?
You did.
Ah, then I must have gone off to collect the little wooden sporks then.
But, dear, did you?
No.
Darling, I'm sensing one of my headaches coming on. I think we should toddle on back to the Airbnb.
All right. Good night, Lola.
Bye, Lola!
Yeah. Good night, girls.
Good night! Oh, do excuse me.
Oh, no. My mistake. After you.
Yeah, it was his fault. He's always doing things like that.
Just...
I do not think it is a problem. Goodbye!
What can I get you, Governor?
No, it's my round.
That is only fair. I mean, you do make more money than I do. Hi, Lola.
Hello, little darling. How are you?
Still a cop and still a lesbian.
Oh, good for you, darling.
Beer for the old man. And for me, a cocktail. But not a showy one. Something sophisticated, like a woo-woo.
All right, sweetie pants.
If I have to call Sharon one more time because of Billy, I might just commit suicide.
Governor, that would be selfish. Imagine the effect that would have on crime.
Okay.
It would go up.
Yes, thank you. Well, it could be worse. At least it's only arson and then out for a pint. We're not dealing with any murders.
Governor, now you've said it.
What?
I bet the very next case we have to investigate is a murder.
Murder! Murder! Murder, she wrote!
Murder, most foul! Murder! Murder!
Murder!
Sometimes I hate Margate.
Ours is Southern Comfort and 7-Up.
Sweet.
Like you.
Yeah, you did that one.
You're so fit, you know. Come over here and join us.
I'm all right over here.
You sure, lie? It's really soft and sensual. Come and feel these sheets.
What's my name?
What?
What's my name, Gary?
Fucking Fit Barbird. That's what?
Yeah, try again, Gary.
Princess of fucking Margate.
Yeah, I'm gonna go.
Oh, come on. You're here now.
No, Gary, I'm going.
No, you're not.
I'm not going to fuck you if you don't even remember my name.
You're not going fucking anywhere.
Gary, let me go. Gary!
Why does he wear the outfit of a busboy from New York City, from the 50s?
Who?
Kevin.
Who is Kevin?
Our busboy. Oh, perhaps I see it now. Anyway, he's more of a busman.
I like his smartness.
Help!
What on earth is that?
Is it coming from inside?
Is it Kevin?
Quickly, inside!
Help!
that episode of Margate Murder Mystery, Helen Bang was Tabitha and Maria Hildebrand was Tilly. Matthew Wade played Inspector Paul Filter, Denise Moreno was Sergeant Moreno, and Peter Ray was the narrator. The announcer was Simon Jones. Richard Rycroft and Lizzie Roper played Paul and Sheila Phelps, and Montgomery Blagg was Billy. Chris Pybus played Gary, and Holly Ashman was Layla. Rosalinda was played by Rosalind Blessed. Thobes and Annabelia were played by Tobias Deacon and Annabelle Brown, and Stephen Billington played Kevin. Katie Manning played Lola. The art design was by Tim Jones. The theme tune and original music were composed by Paul Flush. Margate Murder Mystery was written and directed by Peter Ray and Helen Bang and produced in lockdown by Cannonby Productions.